I don't know where she saw it, but Michelle does a really good job with our family of coming up with different ways for us to interact. On Valentine's Day, she had a whole list of questions for the two of us to talk about. Some of them remembering things, others just learning more about each other. But one of the things that she's instituted with our family is every night at the dinner table, we sit down and we have dinner, but before we're done, everybody goes through and does what was their high for the day, or multiple highs, what was their low for the day, how did they see God working, and maybe to think about, were there any mistakes you made that you would recognize and want to do differently in the future. So we go through those four things, and inevitably, they almost always have highs, unless it's been a really bad day, like I've talked about for them sometime, and then it's the I only have lows. I don't have any highs. But usually there's highs, and usually there's some lows, although some days are great and they don't have any of those. And then sometimes they'll come up with something, some way God's working, and Ayla's response to a mistake you made is usually, I didn't make any mistakes. So we're still working on that one with her. Or else she's just perfect already, but I kind of doubt that. But I really appreciate that time because it creates the space for us to be able to really listen to each other as a family. And when I'm gone during the day, it gives me some insight into the day that my wife and my kids have had, what went well for them and what didn't. And especially with my kids, Michelle and I will come home and we talk about our days, but my kids don't come and go, Dad, can you sit down? I have 15 minutes. I want to talk to you about my day and how it went. They just don't do that. So this provides the space for us to reflect, think about what's been good, think about what wasn't good, and what maybe we want to change for the future. It's almost like calling a timeout on our life, because life gets so hectic that when you're just living it, you often don't take the time to reflect on many of those things. But when you call a timeout, and this is true whether it's that thing for our family, it's true in a basketball or a football game, when you call a timeout, it's to give you some space to think and breathe and figure things out. The same thing can be true for a child that's acting up, and so you give them a timeout and say, why don't you take some time to think about what's going on and kind of pull yourself together. When you take a timeout, what you do is you stop what's happening. That's the beginning of a timeout, is you stop. And then you reflect, and you have time to think, celebrate, strategize, consider what could be different in the future. The early church called a timeout. If you go to Acts chapter 15, this is right as the church is forming. The gospel is spreading. People are becoming disciples of Jesus. Good things are happening. But in Acts chapter 15, something happens where the early church has to go, whoa, hold up. Stop what's happening. We have some things we need to talk about, deal with, figure out. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says, certain individuals came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, and in Antioch these would have been largely Gentile believers anyway, unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Now that's a bad day, right? You put your faith in Jesus, you're excited, the Savior, and then somebody comes to your town and goes, hey, I'm so glad that you've decided to follow Jesus. The thing is, you have to be circumcised. What? I didn't sign up for that. What is going on here? I think that would be a little bit of a shock. Well, this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with those guys who had come down and were saying this. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. So basically they said, you think one thing, we really disagree with you. Instead of just fighting it out here, let's call a timeout. And we'll send a few of us to go to Jerusalem where the apostles are, the leadership of the church, and we're going to go hash this issue out so that we can figure out moving forward what it is that we should do. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers glad. So even as they went on the way to deal with these things in their time out, they're talking about the good stuff that's happened. And it encourages the church and strengthens people. When the they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. I love that when they get there, what they start with is not, hey, here's our dispute, can you figure it out? I love that when they get there, they say the first thing they do is they report everything God's done through them. So they get there and the first thing they do is say, hey, let us tell you what God's been doing. That's where they start. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. I'm going to stop there for now. So this dispute arises in the early church, and they call a timeout, and they go to Jerusalem, and the first thing they do is say, let's talk about the great thing that God's been doing. Then they get through that, and they say, but at the same time, here's the dispute that's come up. And it's a pretty strong disagreement. In fact, we don't really see a way that we're going to reconcile this, and so we're bringing it before you. And the elders and the leaders of the church, it says they go to contemplate what they should do. So they take that time out and they go off to think through the sides that have been proposed and what the best way forward is. So they had a lot of deliberation and discussion, and then, if you skip to verse 19, this is after a lot of talking and trying to figure things out. This is James. Says, it's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. And then they send them that letter. So they go take their time out, they contemplate, and at the end, the leaders come back and they say, all right, here's the determination. Here's what we think we should do moving forward. And they offer their solution. They write a letter for Paul to take back to the believers in Antioch. And they say, this is how we're going to move forward together as a church. And then Paul goes back to Antioch and calls time in. And then they kind of get back after the work. Over the past, well, for many, many years, but I'm just going to speak about my history here at the church, because obviously that's the part of the history I know best. There's been great things happening at Mount Air for 92 years now. That's pretty cool, huh? 92 years. Think of all the people who have contributed to the ministry that's happened here. Think of all the people who have been touched by the ministry that happens here. I think it would be really difficult to count even the people who have been touched by the ministry of Mount Air. Because even during the time I've been here, what I've seen a lot is people come in and they're here, you know, a month or four months or 6 months, and then something happens and they go somewhere else. But their time here was important. I wonder, is Rashina in here? Do you remember the guy's name that called us about coming in July, who used to be here at Mount Air?
Bob Brock.
So Bob Brock called this last week, and I talked to him, and he's going to be here in July. But he called because he said, hey, I'm going to be in Denver for a family reunion, and I'd love the chance to be able to come and share with the people of Mount Air how much that church impacted me and how much it's affected my growth. And so there are people that haven't even been here for a long time, yet you get a call from Bob Brock, who I've never met, who says, that church really impacted my faith. So there's been a lot of great things happening. Then, over the past 3.5 years, but I'd say especially over the past 2 years, we've been trying to do a lot of stuff. We've made quite a few changes. We've strategized about, okay, how can we continue to help the ministry of this church evolve and grow to where it's reaching the surrounding community, and we're helping people know about Jesus, and we're being a physical expression of the gospel with providing the things that people need? How can we open up to the community, allow the space here to be used for the good of the community? We've been doing a lot of those things. One of the things that we have been planning to do, that we've at least talked about generally for a while, is about starting a second service. And the purpose of that second service was to say, we're gonna start something new where we do things in a different way. Music is different. Probably the way that even the pastor would dress would be a little bit different. The flow would be different. It would be much more organic and free, where it wouldn't be the same structure every week. But what we want to think through is not how do we just structure a new service and leave it, but what kind of service might we be able to connect with some people that we've had a difficult time connecting with so far? So that second service, while it was not a fix-all in itself, the goal was to make it a part of our mission to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that would be a part of how we pursued that. Was to start a second service. But when we started talking about that more seriously, and we started throwing out some times that that service would be, what Sunday morning might look like, there started to be a significant amount of concern. We'll put it that way. People who were struggling with the direction that things were headed. And then, if you were here last week, you know we did a survey where we passed it out and we asked people, if this is the schedule, then which service would you be likely to attend so we could get a feeling for how that would all shake out? And out of the people that responded, the responses were sort of across the spectrum from one or the other to I'm going to try both and see what happens. But we had a fifth of the people that responded who said they would not go to either service anymore. So we got the results of that survey, and that coupled with the feedback, thinking through that, within a day or two I thought, man, I feel like maybe this is a time where we need to call a timeout. Actually, Chuck's the one who gave that language to it. Kind of had that feeling, but that was a great way to put it that I hadn't thought of. And so we discussed that in the board meeting. Hey, is this a time where we might need to call a timeout? Not to say we're not moving forward, not to say we're not going to do new stuff, but just like a timeout is for my family in the evening or it is in a game, for us to stop, think about what's happened, consider what could be done going forward, and make that decision together, not just as a board, but to think through this as an entire congregation. That's why I'm up here talking to you about this today. The board already has heard it. So they can all check out. No, just kidding. Board members, no checking out. So when it was clear that to some extent we weren't together, before moving forward, we just felt like we needed a timeout. Sort of like the early church did in Acts 15 to say, hey, we're obviously not all on the same page here. The reality is, a month, 2 months, however many months from now, we may still not all be on exactly the same page. But let's at least take a time out to consider what it is we're trying to accomplish and how it would be best to go about that. So this morning I want to do the two things that I think a time out is for, to sort of set us into a season of reflecting and thinking about where we're headed as a church. The first thing that we talked about is like our family talking about highs. What's been accomplished? What should we celebrate? I think there's plenty of things. We, this congregation, raised over $20,000 a year and a half to 2 years ago now to do quite a few different updates to the building, especially that back children's wing, to try to make this building better for kids. Those rooms back there were storage. If you haven't walked through there, I mean, it's set up nicely now. I can't tell you how many people have come through and said, wow, this is really nice what you guys have done back here. So we rallied together to do a lot of those things. We've been able to open up our facility some to some important ministries. We have a Whiz Kids 2 group that meets here on Tuesday nights. We have another kids club that had been at an apartment complex but had to leave there. And so they came here and they're here on Thursday nights now. We have a local community Zumba group that meets here. We've done a lot of different community events, 2 Halloween parties this last year, Easter. We did a community cookout and resource fair in Manor Park. We always do the Thanksgiving dinner. So lots of ways that we've tried to open up and connect with the community more. Ruth just shared a lot about giving and the way that we try to help provide for people. We took a risk and hired an associate pastor to give additional help with leadership and pushing into the vision and mission of what we were trying to do. We've done some different things with trying community groups, small groups. This week we're starting 2 discipleship groups. to give people the opportunity to go deeper in faith. So I think there's a lot that's happened. And besides that, probably the most important thing, which you guys know as many stories as I do probably, is just the life transformation that's happened in people. I mean, ultimately, that's the most important thing. And if you've been here a while, you've seen people come through, people put their faith in Jesus who didn't know him before, people who have been following Jesus for decades who are growing in that faith. So all those things are worth celebrating. The second thing that we need to do during a timeout, I think, is to get at some of the underlying issues that we need to deal with as a church to think about how we'd want to move forward. The reality is what time a service is held is not the issue. That's how it plays out. That's the vehicle that the issues use to manifest themselves. But the real issue is not what time we would have a service. There's probably more issues that we need to talk about and wrestle with than what I'm going to share today, but I want to share two. The first one is the question, who is the church for? When you're making decisions as a church especially, and like a Sunday morning schedule is a decision, that is usually driven by one of two mentalities. The first one is the decisions are made primarily with those who are already here in mind. So in other words, we want to reach the community and all that, but as we come to decisions, our primary focus is what do people think who are already here? That's one way to approach decisions. A second way would be to make decisions thinking primarily about those who are not here yet. In other words, the focus is, look, it's great the people we have and we want to continue to grow together, but if we're going to reach more people, how do we need to make decisions in order to do that? And that's the primary focus. Now, I think the easier, nice thing to say here would be it's both, right? Like, well, we make decisions with the people who are already here and the people who aren't here yet in mind. And to some extent, I think that is very viable. The church biblically is called to be something. We're supposed to grow in love for one another. We're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be a witness to the world of the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we do need to think about what's going on in here. But the practical reality of it is if our focus is on how do decisions affect the people that are here, then we will lean strongly toward that orientation. Because here's the deal, when a decision comes up, who are the people making the decision? It's all people who are already here. The people who aren't here yet, who might come, they aren't here having a voice. The only way they can have a voice is for us to try to connect with people and then and get to know them and then think through what is it that we could do to help connect with them and not make decisions based on what feels good to us, but what would help to advance that mission. And I think when you're in mission together, it ends up drawing everybody closer together who's already here anyway. But those are sort of the two ways. I want to give you a few practical examples. And I'm not really trying to be derogatory toward one or the other, but I just want to show you how this works out. So one would be as we approach a service time, not just talking about the schedule that was out there last week, but generally, set aside anything that it was going to be to this point. Is it most important that the people here who are sitting in this room now can come to church at the time that they want to? Or is it most important that we would put a new service at the time where it would have the potential to reach the most people possible? Aside from whatever times those might be, how would we make that decision? Another one would be the way that we use money. If we believe that it would truly reach people, would we be willing to risk every cent for the mission of God through this church? Or is it most important that we keep a certain amount in reserve? And again, I'm not saying we should. It's hypothetical. If it would do that. Another one would just be, are there things in the church or about the church that even if you had evidence that it would reach people and help us fulfill the mission, that you would be unwilling to change? I think I probably have some of those things, honestly. So this is not just for everyone else. This is one of the things I've been reflecting on. What is it that I wouldn't be willing to change in order to reach people? Life Church TV has one of their values is we will do anything short of sin to reach the lost. Last week we talked about how much God loves the lost and how much he's emotionally invested in reaching them. I love that value. We'll do anything short of sin to reach people. But it's tough. So I think that's one of the things we need to wrestle with. The second thing is, Roger, if you can put that up there. This is what I've kind of coined the risk or change threshold. I think this is just the reality, whether it's in our church or whether it's in your personal life or anywhere else. I think the way that we are made as humans is that when we're used to something in our family, in our church, at our work, and change begins, the more change increases, the more pain increases. Because it's a struggle, it's wrestling. So when you make a little change, and think about it even at home, it doesn't have to just be here at church, when you make a little change, okay, not a big deal. But then you move. Well, that's harder, especially if you've been somewhere a long time. Then you go to a totally different state or something, even harder. Then you go overseas, and you switch careers, and your kids go off to college all in the same week. Well, now it's just almost overwhelming. And you can call it pain or discomfort or whatever you want to call it, but I put pain there because I want to recognize how difficult it is. So I think there's some pain. Here's the deal with this diagram, and I'd love to talk to you more about this later if you're interested. I think the worst place for us to be as a church is to get stuck somewhere sort of in the middle there. Because up there where the arrow turns green, that's a point of breakthrough, where you've undergone enough change to be able to really thrive as an organization. That doesn't mean change stops. You see a lot more good stuff start to happen. Kind of the tide turns in that direction. But up until then, you're not seeing as many results as you'd hope to see, but your pain is increasing as you go. And so if you're going to change to like the middle of the diagram, I think it's almost better to not. Because you're increasing pain without... And I don't know exactly, like you can think of where we'd be on that graph right now, where you think we'd be, what it would take to get to the green, and that's something that we need to wrestle through as a church. My concern pastorally, as I listen to people, is that at least to some extent, we have people who are hitting their risk or change threshold. Where it's like, okay, I've gone along with things. I've even been excited about some of the changes, and it's been good. But one or two more changes, and I'm just not going to be able to do it anymore. That's all I've got left in me. I don't know exactly, but my gut tells me if I had to put a percentage on how much we've changed compared to getting to the green, I think it's probably like 20%. And so if even if we're getting close to that, if we're going to hit it at 30 or 40 or 50, then we need to wrestle with how far we're willing to go and how close we are to hitting that point where we just can't risk and can't change anymore. Even if we're not there now, how close are we to it? I don't have answers for that stuff, but I think that's the second thing that we need to wrestle with as a people. Roger, you can take that down. So, we're postponing starting a second service. Notice I said postponing. I didn't say not doing. But we're postponing it. Because I think right now it's much more important that we take a time out and make sure that we're together and know where we want to go before we take that next step that will cause some more pain because it's more change. We're going to take a period of time. Would love your input on what that period of time should look like. Whether it's a month or 6 weeks or a couple months, I don't know exactly. Would love your input on what that time looks like. I think Shirley had a great idea this last week. She emailed me and said maybe we could have kind of an open forum where people could come and share what they're thinking and feeling and just kind of have that space to share. I think that might be a great thing to do during this time. If you have other ideas for how we should process this as a church, great. But I would say this. This is a time where I think the best thing that we can do individually and then collectively is reflect on what did God make the church for, what has God made this church for, and what am I willing to do to make sure that happens? And again, I don't have answers to those three questions, but I think that's what we all need to wrestle with, to figure out together where we're headed and what we're willing to do to go there. A few things that are on the table. Well, one, and we'll talk more about this. I don't want to get into it a lot now, but one of the possibilities is if we get to a point where we say, look, we want to do whatever it takes, there is very well-seasoned church consultant that the board and the elders met with on Wednesday, who comes and assesses church health, identifies here's where you're healthy, here's where you're almost like going to the doctor. Here's what you've got going on that's good. Here are the things that are a little bit of a risk factor. And then here are my prescriptions for how you would address those areas that are unhealthy. So that would be one potential thing. Him come in and share those prescriptions and see if those are directions that we'd want to go. But we'll talk more about that as we go forward. So, last word on this. I don't know how you respond to news like this. I know to most people in this room, if you're not on the board or the elders, you probably didn't really know this was coming. Maybe for some of you, you hear it and go, thank goodness, we're not doing that. Maybe for others, you go, that is really discouraging. I've looked forward to that, and I felt like that's an important step for us, and now we're not doing it. Whatever camp you're in or somewhere in between, probably most of us are kind of on that spectrum somewhere. It's a timeout. This isn't saying, oh, we got to totally change direction or whatever, but I think it's just a period to reflect and really figure things out together. It doesn't signal we're not moving forward. And so I don't think it's a time where we need to be discouraged. I think it's a time, let's do a good job celebrating what's happened, and let's do a good job considering what God wants to do as we move forward. But let's do that together. And as you have ideas, please talk to me or to Joel or to board members or to elders, and let's work this through together. Okay? Let me pray for us as a church, and then we will continue with some singing. Heavenly Father, I thank you that... that you are our guide and you are our wisdom, and that you have set our mission before us, and that you are the one who lives inside of us and dwells in us, giving us the direction we need. My mom sent me a verse from Isaiah that talks about when you walk and you turn to the right or the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, follow it. I pray that that would be true for us as a church, as individuals and collectively, that as we walk together, we would hear your voice saying, this is the way, follow it. And that we'd be obedient and follow it, because ultimately, God, it is not about what any of us have thought we wanted to this point. It is about being faithful and following you. That is what we're called to, is faithfulness. God, give us willing spirits, willing minds, willing hearts
to hear your voice and follow it wherever it leads us. And Lord, in this time, I pray that you would bring increased unity to us as a people too, that we would pull together to dream about what it is that you want for this church. Lord, we leave that before you and lay it in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.